From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, October 11th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at mainegardens.org.
Governor Janet Mills detailed Maine's plan to address climate change at the Arctic Circle Assembly in Reykjavik, Iceland today.
We are putting our best minds together now to determine what we have to do to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and cut our appetite for fossil fuels on which we have come to depend so much.
Mills says the delegation Maine sent to the Assembly is the largest in state history and is made up of business leaders, college presidents, researchers, policymakers, and others. The City of Portland, Preble Street Resource Center, and the Jewish Community Alliance are receiving nearly $900,000 in federal funding to reimburse them for the aid they provided to hundreds of asylum seekers this summer. Portland spokeswoman Jessica Grondin says the federal funds will allow the city to disperse more of the private donations it's received to other organizations who also provided aid.
We thought it was kind of a long shot, given that we're not one of the southern border communities. So the fact that we did receive it is excellent. It means that donated money can certainly go to additional things and to our additional community partners.
Maine's congressional delegation, which urged the Federal Emergency Management Agency to distribute funding this summer to support communities with an influx of asylum seekers, announced the award today. Experts are hoping to learn how a species of crab normally found in the warmer waters of the Mid-Atlantic and Gulf Coast wound up in the New Meadows River in West Bath. According to the nonprofit research group Menemet, based in Massachusetts, a researcher found a smooth mud crab in the area earlier this month on a research trip. Sebastian Bell, executive director of the Maine Aquaculture Association, says it's too soon to say what effect a new crab might have, but he says his industry has already had to contend with the better-known invasive green crab, which preys on shellfish larvae.
We will watch much more closely for this species and see whether or not it's having a negative impact on our farms.
Maine Department of Marine Resources spokesperson Jeff Nichols says the state has no record of the smooth mud crab ever having been found in Maine before, and the Menemet specimen may be the state's first. In the weather tonight, scattered light showers statewide, lows 39 to 47 tomorrow. The entire state will get a few light showers, much less wind, highs 50 to 58. This is Maine Public Radio. I'm Ed Morin.
This past week on Maine Calling, Monday, asylum seekers in Maine. Tuesday, domestic violence.
We don't have cases that are on video in domestic violence.
Wednesday, hemp farming. Thursday, the Poor People's Campaign.
Poverty is not a marginal issue. It is not just a people of color issue. It is an American issue.
And Friday, veterinary news and advice. Maine Calling online anytime at mainecalling.org.
200 years ago today, delegates gathered in Portland to write a constitution for Maine. It was a necessary step on the road to statehood. Erwin Gratz talked with Southern Maine Community College professor Herb Adams about the Constitutional Convention and who was there.
Well, they represented, that we know, about 236 incorporated towns. That would be just about every incorporated town in what would be Maine. Probably the most numerous delegates were related to sea trades in some way, sea captains, shipbuilders, ship chandlers. William King, who is going to become the chairman of the convention, was himself a shipbuilder. There were lawyers, about 37, which is remarkable because there weren't many law schools in America then. Most of these were self-trained lawyers. A number of doctors, about 13. We know there were some civil servants, postmasters, sheriffs, about 16 people like that. Three people actually ran sawmills. There were about 8 school teachers, 2 surveyors, and 1 shoemaker. We do know there were about 13 ministers, most of them Baptist and Methodist. And the convention got to a point where they really needed they needed those ministers. But most of the people who attended, would be over 100, were farmers. They swung the balance. And yet, we don't know much about any of them.
Once they gathered, did they have any kind of a template to work from?
There was an argument. Should they use the Massachusetts Constitution of the 1780s as their template, or should they scrap that and start entirely from scratch? So it became rather a mix, I would say. On the other hand, Maine departed significantly from Massachusetts in a lot of individual matters. And when they departed from the Massachusetts mold, it was on the side of the common man. For example, the Maine Constitution, right up front in the first article, has 24 rights of the citizens declared and explained. The Federal Bill of Rights has only 10. From the beginning, we were people who wanted to fur and fish and farm and be left alone. In Massachusetts, no matter who you were taxed for the support of what they call the standing order, the Congregational Church. Now, here in Maine, we threw that out the window right away. It said that you have absolute freedom of religion. And believe it or not, in the debates here in Maine, they talk about Mohammedans, which is what they call Muslims then, Hindus, spelled with 2 O's, saying if such people are here, they have absolute freedom to worship as they wish or not worship at all if they so wish. Now that is huge departure from Massachusetts. All men could vote upon reaching the age of 21. Now what I just said meant that Maine enfranchised blacks. If you were a black man, 21 years or older, you could vote. Now, let me tell you, that got us in trouble with the Southerners in the Congress of the United States when our Constitution reached the floor there.
Historian Herb Adams says the delegates finished their work on October 29th and sent copies of the drafted Constitution to Maine cities and towns for ratification. Mainers voted overwhelmingly that December to approve the document. Copies were also sent to Congress, which Adams noted would spend the next several months embroiled in the slavery debate, before eventually approving Maine's entry into the Union as part of the Missouri Compromise. Herb Adams was speaking with Maine Public's Erwin Gratz. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a great weekend. I'm Ed Morin.